We now come to the final segment of Mr. Witherby's piece here called Acting in Fellowship in Matters of Discipline. I hope this has been helpful, and we will continue on here, and the links are below of the full text, and so let us proceed. Doctrine is in some respects easier to deal with than practice. And here again, the state of the soul and character of conscience of the assembly is tested by evil practice occurring in one composing part of it. The learned and gifted Corinthians were blind and indifferent to their divided state, and also boastful of the presence of a horrible crime in their assembly, and thus we see that was their actual moral condition. We may be sure that the way in which we view sin is really the way in which we practically are in or not in the light. If there be honesty before God, there will be simplicity as to right and wrong. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. No underhand procedure will commend itself to honesty, nor will party feeling in order to shield the transgressor approve itself to him who is in the presence of God. And what is earnestly desired is that the whole of each assembly should be so in the light that there be not any will save that which would do the will of God. But it must be insisted on that to this end it is all important that each individual should be before God with a clear and honest conscience. We know that there must be heresies amongst us so that the approved may be made manifest, and whether we look at Ephesus, Revelation 2, or Corinth, or read the later epistles, we find, alas, that even in the apostolic times and from the earliest days, God's saints were exposed to this danger. Sifting and testing must be our portion. The way to glory is not lined with roses. Happy are they who overcome. Neither in these days can we send up difficulties to Jerusalem by the hand of one or two, quote, unto the apostles and elders about this question, Acts 15. There is no divinely appointed council for God's saints to refer to. Apostles are not, and where are the elders? We do not say they, as the apostles, are not, for surely they exist, but where are they? There is now no apostle to commission with divinely given authority and wisdom, a Titus to, quote, set in order the things which are wanting and ordain elders in every city. That's Titus 1:5. Neither is any united assembly composed of all the believers in any city over which to appoint the elders. While as to the elders themselves, in reference to our assemblies, there is many a city and village where our local assemblies exist, in which the elders are not gathered with us as to the name of the Lord Jesus, but still in churches or chapels. We are living in days when Christendom is in a state of disorder and confusion, and when Christendom's organization is human. Hence we, who as a little remnant, as poor, weak, are gathered to our Lord's name, must be humble and find our strength in our very weakness. Elders or no elders, all will be well if we depend upon the Lord and obey his word. And even if we have lived in apostolic days and had elders in every city, we should not have God on it at all had we depend on elders. We must not rely on man, but on God. And of what value is a man in office unless he himself is in reality? There may be in a local assembly both elders and rulers, but perhaps in it there are none. And as there are with us teachers, pastors, and evangelists, so there are elders and rulers, but we cannot say that such an assembly and an elder or ruler can no more be made by man than a teacher, pastor, and evangelist. Hence we, with no organization in the eyes of men, are in the position as an ecclesiastical body of being real and honest before God in the day of confusion and weakness. What can be better than that is in our day? Provided we are honest and real and in the place of weakness and dependence upon God. If the state of weakness arising out of disordered condition of Christendom be allowed, and the attitude of honest weakness be maintained in before God, he will guide us by his Spirit as to every anxious question. Let the brethren of the local assembly deliberate over God's word on the question in the midst of them and seek his guidance. What saith the Scriptures? Is the all-important question, and which answered binds the conscience. When an assembly, whoever weak, is faithfully before the Lord and waiting on him, he will stand by it, and it will be eventually guided by the Holy Spirit according to the word of God. Then the action of the assembly will be in fellowship, even fellowship affected by the Spirit of God, and what they bind on earth in government will be ratified in heaven. I hope you've enjoyed the portion given by Mr. Witherby in these five sections on acting in fellowship in matters of discipline. May we continue to hold forth his name in practice as well as privilege as we wait for his coming.